My text this morning, you'll find in verse 9. And it's those words, justified by his blood. Justified by his blood. Now, if you look at this chapter of God's word, we read in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Then we read the words in our text, justified by his blood. And then if you come down to the end of verse 18, we read the words, justification of life. Now, how many justifications are there? Well, there is but one. There is one doctrine, there is one truth revealed in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. It is called the doctrine of the justification by faith alone, or the doctrine of our justification, the doctrine of the sinner's justification before God. Why then are there these references or these seemingly different aspects? Are there more than one? Is there more than one justification? No, there's only one. Therefore, when the Bible says justified by faith, when the Bible says justified by his blood, and when the Bible talks about justification of life, it is not talking about three different justifications. It is simply showing us different aspects of the doctrine of justification by faith. Now this, of course, this truth or this doctrine in the Bible is most important. I came across some quotations the other day from a man called Robert Horne. Let me read to you three quotations from this man. He says that if we remove justification, the church begins to crumble. And you know, of course, it's very sad that today there are many Protestant denominations and churches and preachers who no longer preach justification by faith alone. They preach works. They preach what we can do, or even what we are, that can commend us to God. That is not the teaching of the gospel, and it's not the teaching of the Bible. He went on to say this, in every period when God has awakened his people, the gospel of justification has come to the fore. In other words, in times of reformation and in times of revival, the Lord has so blessed and awakened his people that there is a preaching of Christ and Christ alone before the sinner. And that the sinner must believe on Christ alone in order to be saved. And looking away out of ourselves, as the hymn writer put it, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling. He said another thing, this man, Robert Horne, he says, we need to get such a hold on justification that in the dark day we shall find it holding us. I think that's wonderful. And a similar quote, he says, when we lack the peace of God, we should turn to our peace with God. In other words, our justification. And so this morning I want to just deal with this great subject and look at it really under these two terms that are used in this passage. Justified by faith, verse 1. Justified by his blood, verse 9. Again, the same justification, not two, but two aspects of the same justification. You know, there have been people down through, I suppose, church history, but certainly even in the time that I've been a Christian, where people have tried to put a kind of a wedge between Christ and the Apostle Paul. And they've said something like this, you know, the Lord Jesus, he preached a simple gospel. But Paul, being a Pharisee, he added to it, he built upon it. But what he added to it and what he built upon it isn't necessary. We need to get back to Jesus and the Gospels. I remember sitting at home, I can't remember exactly the year, but I don't think I was very long saved. And Donald Soper was being interviewed on one of these talk shows. And he was asked, "Do you believe in the God of the Old Testament?" And he replied, "Oh no, he is a vengeful God. I believe in the Jesus of the Gospels." Now, I wasn't long saved, but even I knew that man is a fool. He had his clerical collar on. I would reckon that wee man's the type of man, he would mow the lawn with his clerical collar on. He probably loved it, but what a fool. Because, first of all, even a child reading the four Gospels would know Christ was always quoting the Old Testament. It is written. It is written. It is written. You could say, even if you look at Christ as a preacher, his preaching was based on the Old Testament scriptures. Let me put a question to you this morning. Did the Lord Jesus preach justification by faith alone? Well, take your Bible and come to Luke chapter 18. Very familiar passage, but I hope that seeing it maybe in this light, you'll see it afresh and it'll come with great power to your soul. If you look at chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is speaking here. He says in verse 9, "And he spake this parable unto certain," notice this, "which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." And you know the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and he prayed, and he was thanking God. He claimed that he wasn't as other men are. He wasn't an extortioner. He wasn't unjust. He wasn't an adulterer. "And I'm not even like this publican standing here beside me. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." I. Then the Lord Jesus said, verse 13, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner." And then the Lord Jesus said this, look at it, verse 14, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Did Christ preach justification by faith? Of course he did. Because it is the doctrine of the Word of God. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke's Gospel chapter 16. The Lord Jesus here, he's speaking to the Pharisees. Just like the Pharisee in the parable there, they were trusting in themselves. And in verse 15 of Luke 16, "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." Did Christ preach justification by faith alone? Oh, yes. So we can have no truck with this higher criticism where they try and drive a wedge between the Lord Jesus' teaching and the Apostle Paul's teaching. And you know, when you think about that, how arrogant can you be? How arrogant can you be when you think, you honestly believe you know better than the God who gave us the Bible? I mean, that is gross arrogance of a gross kind. The Lord Jesus taught justification by faith. Not in ourselves. Not by what we can do. Not who we are. If we feel or think that we are morally better than someone else, and that commends us to God. Or if we think we are more religious than someone else, and that will commend us to God. We are very wrong. The way to God and the way to peace with God is to be justified by faith. To be standing before God in Christ's perfect obedience and the full satisfaction that he made on the cross of Calvary for our sins. In other words, it is absolutely nothing of us, nothing of me, everything of Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, we could go through the Bible, certainly the New Testament, and we could give you verse after verse where we can see quite clearly that justification is always a looking out of ourselves onto Christ. A looking away from us, a looking away out of ourselves to the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, that today all the men and pulpits would be preaching that. You know, we had in the wee hall and corridor last night, Oliver McAllister, converted Roman Catholic. And he was giving his testimony. And there's a little booklet, and you can get that little booklet of his testimony. He was a bus driver for 39 years. But he tells us when he was a wee boy of 11, he went up the stairs to wake his dad, who was a plumber. And when he went to the bed and looked down, his father was lifeless. And Oliver says, as a wee boy of 11, he ran into his own bedroom. He got down before the Sacred Heart of Jesus that was on the wall. And he prayed earnestly. When I go back into my father's bedroom, make him alive. And when he went back into his father's bedroom, his father was dead. And he talks about how that mummy he was sent to hand in, an envelope to the priest to get his father's soul through and out of purgatory. Listen, there is no purgatory because there's no need for a purgatory. Jesus purged our sins once and for all on the cross of Calvary. And not only do I not have to pay a priest, and not only do I not have to pay a pope, and not only do I not have to pay a minister, not only do I not have to pay any religious organization, I don't even have to pay the Lord. He paid it all. It's free. We read that even in our passage here. It is the gift of righteousness. Have you received the gift of righteousness as it's been offered to you in the gospel? But let us come to this passage and the fact that it says in one place we're justified by faith, and it says in another place in the same passage justified by his blood. Now, if you were asked down the street tomorrow, I understand that you're a Christian. And if someone was to say to you, are you justified by faith or are you justified by his blood? What would you say? Well, you would say, of course, well, both. But then they might say, well, what do you mean both? It's one or the other. And you know, it is so important that we understand this morning. So important for our own assurance of salvation and our own peace with the Lord. So let's look at this morning. Justified by faith, justified by his blood. There's only one justification. It is in Christ alone. It is his righteousness alone. So what is the difference here? It's simply this. One is the ground of our justification, or the basis for it. The other is the means whereby we receive it. What is the basis, what is the ground of my standing before God this morning? What gives me the right, not an arrogant right, but nevertheless the right to say, I'm a believer, I am saved. When I die, I will go to be with the Lord. I will be absent from the body. I will be present with the Lord. What gives me the right to say that? Upon what ground do I say that? The blood of Christ. All that Christ has accomplished as the perfect servant of Jehovah. You see, he has provided you and me and all who will believe a perfect righteousness. Have you ever wondered, why did the Lord Jesus live for 33 years? And one sense, I don't know why 33 and not 35 or 29. But there is a sense in which I do know this. The Lord lived the life he lived, and he lived the length of a life he lived, because every moment of it he was perfectly obeying God. He was perfectly obeying the law of God. Not a second of his life was the Lord ever out of obedience to his God and to God's holy law. Do you know why he did that? Well, of course he did it because he could, because he's God and man, he's perfect. But he did it for us. The Lord could live 33 years without sin. I can't live 33 minutes. I know that I sin against the Lord in word and thought and deed. I am still in this body. I am still in this world. The world, the flesh, and the devil are there. But praise God, he lived a perfect life. In fact, when the devil came to tempt him, Christ said, he has nothing in me. As if, you see, the devil can, as it were, reach into your heart and tempt you and manipulate you because you're a sinner. But when he tried to do that with the man Christ Jesus, there was nothing to grab hold onto. He's the perfect one. And so God, in Christ, sending his dear Son, the man Christ Jesus, as the man Christ Jesus, he lived that perfect, obedient life. And then on the cross, he offered a full satisfaction for all my sins. And he made that atonement, and he has covered them all. And therefore, I can say, not arrogantly, but yet with assurance, I am a believer, and I have acceptance with God eternally. And when I die, I will go to heaven, and I will be with the Lord for all eternity. I can say that because of Christ. In that way, I'm justified by his blood. I'm justified by his blood. You know, the Bible says in this same book that all the world has become guilty before God. But you know, for us in the teaching of the Bible, we should never say you're either guilty or innocent. I was never innocent. And I am not innocent. You're either guilty or saved. And when you're saved, you see, God takes the perfect righteousness of Christ and puts that to your account. And your sin was his on the cross. He bore it on his own body in the tree. His righteousness is yours. And it'll be yours in the day of judgment. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress. So the ground of our justification is by his blood. Look what that verse says, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Dear Christian, and here's really the point we want to make this morning. Never you think, never for a second, will you ever think, or should you ever think, that your faith is the ground of your justification? Never think that. I learned a great lesson many years ago as a young believer, and I learned this: I should never start trusting in my trusting. I should never put my faith in my faith. Listen, brothers and sisters, you know this. If our faith was the ground of our justification, we would be miserable. I was speaking to the children in Sunday school today about the great event when the Lord Jesus calmed the storm. And you remember the disciples were so full of fear. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And what did he say? Why have you such little faith? In fact, he says, why have you no faith? So there are times, isn't it true, there are times we may know ourselves and feel ourselves to have strong faith, but there could be times when we have little faith. Imagine that was the ground of your standing before God. No, the ground of our standing before God is Christ and his finished work, his life lived, and the death he died, and he's been resurrected, and showing the whole universe that God has accepted the life and the death of this offering for sins forever. The ground is the blood. What does it mean then when it says justified by faith? This is the means. Not the ground, not the basis, the means. In other words, here is this gift that God offers you and me. And faith is reaching out and thankfully receiving that gift and making it our own. And His righteousness is now mine. Doesn't make me sinless. Doesn't make me perfect. That will come when we depart this scene of time and we go to the place of the spirits of just men and women made perfect. But I tell you what it does do. It means I am fit for fellowship with God, not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Do you see the difference this morning? Justified by blood, that's the ground of it. That's the basis upon which God can do it. He can declare you righteous because of the righteousness of Christ given to you. But you receive it by faith. And you rest in it by faith. Until you die, the day you die, it will remain faith. Come over to 2 Corinthians as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to show you as we close the great exchange. Here's the great exchange. It says in verse number 21, the last verse of 2 Corinthians 5. Speaking about God, it says, "For God hath made him," that is the Lord Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin." So there is the sinless, perfect Christ. And God made him to be sin for us. Notice that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's it. The great transaction. And praise God today, if you're a believer this morning and you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now someone might say, how can I know that the faith I have is true, real, saving faith? Because, of course, we could have a kind of a faith where we just believe in a historical Jesus. Oh, I believe there was a man called Jesus, born in Bethlehem, and so on. How can I know I have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, of course, true saving faith, as I said, it'll always be a looking away out of yourself to Him. Secondly, it will not be dead, because faith without works is dead. It will manifest itself. It will show itself to some degree. There will be a following after the Lord and a going on with the Lord. Have you got this faith today? Are you justified by His blood? Is that the basis, the ground? In other words, are you in agreement with God? Because this is the teaching of the Bible. And have you received that by faith alone? By faith alone. You know, I've been coming to this church since I was saved, 1977. I was 17. I can't remember, never calculated how many meetings I've been at, how many hymns I've sung, how many times I've read the Bible, how many times I've gone out to help in the Sunday school or the children's meeting or door to door. And I don't keep a record of that. You know why? It doesn't matter. I am saved by grace alone, by Christ alone. And I have received that gift of righteousness by faith alone. It was faith alone the moment I trusted Christ, and it'll be faith alone the moment I say goodbye to this old world. And then I shall see him face to face and tell the story. Saved by grace. I trust that the next time you're thinking about justification, you'll understand the difference. One is the ground, Christ. And the other is the means, how we receive it. But never mix them up. Never make your faith the ground of your justification, because it isn't. It isn't before God. It's the Lord Jesus. But keep on believing that mighty truth. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts today. We're going to sing.